fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Lionel Messi and Megan Rapinoe, who were named the best male and female football players in the world at a FIFA awards ceremony in Milan, Italy. Argentina and Barcelona superstar Messi said he was delighted to win the best men's player prize for a record sixth time. He beat Liverpool defender Virgil van Dijk of the Netherlands and five-time winner Cristiano Ronaldo in the voting. The 32-year-old Messi won the Spanish La Liga title with Barcelona last season, as well as the European Golden Boot, having scored 54 goals in all competitions. Meanwhile, 34-year-old Megan Rapinoe won the top women's award after helping the United States win its record fourth Women's World Cup trophy in France.
Yes, very happy, very happy. A little bit surreal. This year has been very crazy. The last 3 months have been crazy. I've never thought that I would win one of these, so very happy. It's extremely exciting.
Megan Rapinoe is the fourth American woman to win the FIFA award, following Mia Hamm in 2001 and 2002, Abby Wambach in 2012, and Carly Lloyd in 2015 and 2016. Rapinoe's USA teammate Alex Morgan finished second in the voting, and English defender Lucy Bronze was third. Megan Rapinoe says she also had a chance to talk briefly with men's winner Lionel Messi in Milan.
Yes, I speak just about as much Spanish as he does English, so it was a very short conversation. His kids are really cute, and congratulations on the award.
After winning FIFA's Female Player of the Year award, Megan Rapinoe said she hopes to play for the United States at next year's Olympics in Tokyo.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of change. I think this year will be sort of similar. It's a short turnaround to the Olympics. Obviously, I have a new coach and a shorter roster, but I think after that, it'll be a big change. I'm getting a little bit older, so we'll see if the coach wants to keep me around. And just enjoying it as it's coming now, though, and looking forward to the Olympics next summer.
Megan Rapinoe also commented on the popularity of women's soccer after she helped lift the trophy in France at the Women's World Cup.
I mean, I think people are actually watching it and not just judging it without watching it. Everyone came to the games and saw how incredible the performance on the field was, the atmosphere in the stands. There's no reason that the experience for the fan has to be any different at a men's game than a women's game. The games are a little bit different, but that's normal. But I think it's just an incredible experience. Fans actually get in the stadiums, watch us play. We're pretty entertaining. Like, we're pretty fun to watch. So I feel like people finally came out in the numbers that we want them to.
That's Megan Rapinoe, the winner of FIFA's Best Women's Player Award for 2019. The USA's success in France this year also gave British-born American Jill Ellis her second FIFA Women's Coach of the Year award. On the men's side, the award went to the German Jürgen Klopp, who coached Liverpool to UEFA Champions League glory. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2019, let's listen in again to Prince Nesta's report on the Liverpool celebrations.
Thousands of Liverpool supporters flocked the streets to celebrate the club's historic Champions League win as they welcomed the team back to Merseyside. Liverpool players, staff and management rode three open-top buses around town as they moved slowly through a sea of red, with Liverpool Mayor Joe Anderson estimating in a tweet that more than 250,000 people were in attendance. The Reds erased the disappointment of last season's UEFA Champions League final loss by claiming the trophy after beating Tottenham Hotspur 2-0, thanks to Egyptian playmaker Mo Salah's early penalty and a late second-half strike by Belgian striker of Kenyan descent Divock Origi. Liverpool still haven't won a domestic title since 1990, although the club now stands behind Real Madrid and AC Milan as serial winners of the Champions League tournament after taking home European honours in 1977, 1978, 1981, 1984, and in 2005.
Speaking of Divock Origi, he was interviewed from the open-air bus during the parade in Liverpool.
You're a Liverpool legend now for the rest of your life.
Well, that's good to know. That's an honour. We know what Liverpool means in the world as a club, as a football club. So I think we can be happy that people make that statement. Oh, it means a lot to the people. I can see it in the eyes and their reaction. It means so much, and it's beautiful for us. Because we give so much on the pitch, and then whenever you come back and you get a welcome like this, it's always good.
That's Belgian striker Divock Origi of Liverpool speaking at the team's Champions League celebrations in June. Meanwhile, on the injury front, Liverpool says Origi continues to make good progress from a recent ankle problem, but he won't play Wednesday evening in a League Cup match against MK Dons, a third-tier club in English football. The Reds of Liverpool are off to an excellent start in the Premier League. They've won their first six matches and have a five-point lead over second-place Manchester City. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In Major League Soccer news, Atlanta United captain Michael Parkhurst announced he will retire after the season, ending a 15-year career in which he was one of the top defenders in MLS. Parkhurst is 35 years old, and among his awards, MLS Rookie of the Year in 2005, MLS Defender of the Year in 2006, and three times Parkhurst has won the MLS Fair Play Award in 2007, 2008, and 2014. Meanwhile, his Atlanta teammate Joseph Martinez, the league's reigning most valuable player, is expected to miss at least one match after injuring his right knee and ankle. The Venezuelan striker had 31 goals for Atlanta last season in all competitions, and I know Atlanta fans are hoping Martinez will be healthy for the upcoming MLS playoffs. Atlanta is the reigning MLS Cup champion. Turning to African athletics, middle distance runner William Yatch Majok will be the only South Sudanese athlete at the IAAF World Championships, which begin Friday in Doha, Qatar. Majok is currently being trained by Ugandan and South Sudanese coaches, and he believes he will make South Sudan proud in the competition in Doha. Magumi Davis Rakawinj tells us more from Kampala, Uganda.
Keep it steady, keep it steady.
Let's go.
Half a dozen South Sudanese runners train at Mandela National Stadium, Nambole, watched closely by South Sudanese coach Joseph Anthony and his Ugandan counterpart, Rafael Kasaja. One of the athletes is 1500 meters runner William Yatch Majok. Despite having performed below his personal best of 3 minutes and 49 seconds, at the All African Games in Morocco, Yach, as is commonly known, believes he will do better this time around. The 1500 meters race requires endurance as well as sprint speed. Sometimes, Yach trains with Uganda's Ronald Musagala, who is currently ranked number 3 in the world in the 1500 meters category.
When I go there in World Champ, I will be doing good because last time I did bad in All African Games in Morocco, but now I see I'm ready to get good thing for my crunch. Because I have my colleagues there from Uganda, they are the ones pushing me to do more better.
Yach ran 3 minutes and 49 seconds at All African Games in Morocco. He says participating in the World Championships in Doha will help him demonstrate that South Sudanese are peaceful people. Speaking in Arabic, his trainer, Joseph Anthony, says he's hopeful Yach will bring Grole for South Sudan.
Allah William Taban Masha Jeratinaka fi Botulota Umamele Frigia.
We are currently preparing William for the World Championship in Doha, Qatar. We want him to go and participate and get a high record in the name of our country, South Sudan. We want to be known in the world, and we are getting William ready for this in collaboration with the Ugandan coaches. We are having a daily exercise, morning and evening, so we are working together.
The South Sudanese athletes are training in Kampala due in part to a lack of better facilities at home. Uganda's middle distance trainer, Rafael Kasaja, says it's a matter of time before Yach and his countrymen start dominating athletics in the region.
Previously, it has been Kenya and Ethiopia, but I think with the South Sudanese coming into the picture, it's going to be a very good competition because they are really gifted. One of the advantages the South Sudanese have is the height advantage. And with that height and those long legs, trust me, anything is possible.
Some South Sudanese have failed to participate in international events because of a lack of funding. Others, like Santino Kenyi, have been helped by friends and family to participate in world events. The 2019 IAAF World Athletics Championships are scheduled to take place from September 27th to October 6th in Doha, Qatar. At least 2,000 athletes are expected to participate in the championships. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Mugume. And good luck to William Yach Majok at the World Championships in Doha. Meanwhile, Russia will miss Doha 2019 after the sports governing body extended the ban against the country's federation on Monday. Joining us with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Hey there, Sonny. The IAAF Council met in Doha, where task force head Rune Anderson announced the status of the Russian Athletics Federation will remain unchanged.
Since RUSAF has not met the reinstatement conditions, the task force recommended and the council unanimously agreed that RUSAF should not be reinstated at this time.
Earlier on Monday, the World Anti-Doping Agency cited inconsistencies in data supplied by Russia's anti-doping agency. The country's current suspension comes just days ahead of the start of the Doha World Championships and marks the second time in a row Russia will be absent from the competition. The ban once again places the topic of doping front and center in the headlines, but IAAF President Seb Coe says that subject is not his biggest challenge.
Look, it is the territory that we are in, and you can't retrofit history, and nor should we attempt to. But I'm actually pleased you've raised that question, because no one country is bigger than the championships that we are going to look forward to here. We have a record number of countries. We have anywhere up to 40 countries that have a chance of winning medals. We are one of the only two global sports, and this is the largest sporting event of the year. So I think overwhelmingly, the athletes that I've spoken to, the federations I've spoken to, are focusing entirely on that and not some of the other issues, which is the way they should be at this moment. So, yes, of course, these are the challenges that a sport confronts, but they are not remotely the largest challenges that we face. The largest challenge we face is to maintain our sport at the top of the sporting pyramid and to remain exciting and salient for young people. And given the array of talent that will be appearing on the track and in the field and on the road in the next week or so, I'm sure that that will be pretty good fodder for their appetite.
And that talent includes 30 Russian athletes with no history of doping who have been granted permission to participate as neutrals. However, South African Olympic champion Caster Semenya has been barred from defending her world 800-meter title in Doha for refusing an IAAF ruling to take testosterone-reducing medication. Seb Coe says the ruling is not about one individual, but rather was put into place to level the playing field.
We have sought to find a navigable route through, and that navigable route I hope, results in those athletes with that condition remaining in the sport, being part of international sport. But the responsibility of an international federation that is responsible for our classifications, our rules, our codes, is to maintain, where possible, the level playing field in competition. So those regulations have been tabled specifically with that in mind. This is not about any individual. It's not about a particular country or even a continent.
Ko has also stated he hopes Semenya is able to make a return to competition within the regulations. Meanwhile, the integrity of Russia's anti-doping efforts has also thrown into question the country's inclusion in next year's Tokyo Olympic Games. And Seb Ko says the IAAF will make sure all requirements are met before Russia is reinstated in any future competitions.
The brief I have is for, ideally, the reinstatement of a Russian federation that is fit for purpose and serving the best interests of athletics, and that is entirely what we're focused on. WADA will maintain its work in this area, and the other decisions are for other sports to take and presumably the Olympic movement.
Meanwhile, the best track and field athletes from around the world are getting set for the 2019 World Championships in Doha. The runners take their mark from Friday, September 27th, until the competition concludes on Sunday, October 6th. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest better part of the bottom of your heart. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from The Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from The Voice of America.
Hi, my name is Sunday Adeleye, the Technical Director, Athletics Federation of Nigeria, and Athlete Representative on the Board of Athletics Federation of Nigeria. I want to say a special shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you very much. Have a lovely day.
Here in Washington, two of the city's professional sports teams, the Washington Mystics and the Washington Redskins, are heading in opposite directions right now in terms of possible title success. The Mystics are only one victory away from a return to the Women's National Basketball Association Finals. The Mystics lead the Las Vegas Aces 2-1. And they can advance with a victory later Tuesday night against the Aces in Las Vegas, Nevada. Awaiting the winner of the Washington-Las Vegas series is the Connecticut Sun, which swept the Los Angeles Sparks in 3 straight games. Meanwhile, the Washington Redskins have lost 3 straight games to kick off the National Football League season, playing at home Monday night. The Redskins lost to the Chicago Bears, as we hear now from the AP's George Wallace.
Mitch Trubisky threw 3 first-half touchdowns to Terry Gabriel en route to a 31-15 Chicago win on Monday Night Football. Trubisky finished 25-31 for 231 yards, 3 touchdowns, and an interception.
Defense did a great job creating turnovers and getting the ball for us, and then I think we're just better in situational football. Scoring before half is always big. We're better on third down, and I think that's just belief and Just executing on offense is what allowed us to go down and score.
Gabriel caught six passes for 75 yards and three touchdowns before leaving with a concussion. Redskins quarterback Case Keenum did not have a good night, throwing three interceptions, one return for a touchdown. He also fumbled three times, losing two of them.
That's all on me. I mean, turn over that many times as a quarterback, you know, I let my team down. This is all on me. I really do. I take complete responsibility. You know, I have to take care of the ball better. I mean, that's my number one job.
The Redskins have now lost eight straight on Monday Night Football, and the Bears snap a seven-game losing streak to Washington. Bears win it 31-15. George Wallace, Landover.
Voice of America.
Listen to VOA's program lineup, live, anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOAsunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOAsunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
Deng Maroon checked in at my Facebook page. Deng says he's a Sunny Side of Sports fan who listens to the show in Juba, South Sudan. And Deng says he wants to congratulate Washington Mystics star Elena Deladon for winning her second WNBA Most Valuable Player Award. In Deng's words, she's magnificent! Yes, Deng, it has been a magnificent season for Elena Deladon. On the shooting front, Elena became the first player in WNBA history to become a member of the 50-40-90 club. I'm sure some of our Voice of America listeners are wondering, Sonny, what do you have to do to become a member of the 50-40-90 club? Well, it's basically a club reserved for basketball's best shooters. It's players who have a shooting percentage at or above 50% for field goals, 40% for three-point shots, and 90% for free throws. An update now on the Rugby World Cup in Japan. Samoa began its World Cup campaign Tuesday with a 34-9 victory over Russia at the Kumagaya Rugby Stadium. Samoa survived being reduced to 13 men for almost 10 minutes in the first half. The captain of the Pacific Islanders, Chris Vui, said it was a tough game, adding, and I quote, "We knew the Russians were going to come in hard the first 20 to 40 minutes. We just had to stick it out." I'm really proud of the way the boys came back in the second half. We're here to create a legacy. Samoa's next match will be on September 30th when it plays Scotland in Kobe, Japan. Meanwhile, the Russians have lost their first two matches at the Rugby World Cup, and they'll next play Ireland on October 3rd in Kobe. The tournament will continue Wednesday with a Pool D match between Fiji and Uruguay in Kamaishi, Japan. It'll be the first match for both teams. The Rugby World Cup will culminate November 2nd when the final is played in Yokohama, Japan. And that wraps up the September 24th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Thomas Blondet. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, world leaders gather in New York for the United Nations General Assembly, plus growing Africa's agriculture. On the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
This is Science in a Minute.
According to a new study published in the journal Science, bird watchers in North America have 29% or 3 billion fewer birds to observe than they had in 1970. While the study didn't investigate specific causes for this drop in bird population, the researchers did find that a significant driving factor is the extensive loss and degradation of the bird's habitat from human activity, such as agriculture and urbanization. The study shows that 12 bird families make up more than 90% of the losses. Among the birds who have disappeared, according to the study, are sparrows, blackbirds, warblers, and finches. The study authors made their findings by analyzing bird survey data sets that were made by people who actually count the birds they see for such programs as the U.S. Geological Survey's Breeding Bird Survey and the Audubon Society's annual Christmas Bird Count. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London!
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA. Or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on the Voice of America.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
News happens around the clock, and VOA brings you the latest at the top of each hour.
This is Joe Palca.
I'm Victor Beatty.
Francis Alonso.
Tune in for a summary of the news at the top of each hour, around the clock on The Voice of America. hourly newscasts on the radio and on the internet at voanews.com. VOA, a leader in news coverage for over 70 years.
This is VOA News. I'm Joe.